I keep getting saved over and over again here, and it's been glorious. I'm excited to be a part of all this.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 28th of August 2014, coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say, if one door closes and another one opens, your house is probably haunted. And here from Houston, Texas, once again, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. G'day, Mike.
G'day, Barris. I say, if you have a house and one door opens, or one door closes and then another one opens, I say you got two doors in your house.
Oh, do you remember all? You remember all that stuff we used to teach? Well, the Lord opens and closes doors. And I used to say to people, after a while, I woke up to this crap, and I said, "Listen, I don't pray for God to open any doors anymore. I just try and kick as many down and ask him to close the ones he doesn't want me to go through." I mean, wasn't that sane?
Well, then we went to, well, if one door is closed and another door don't open, he might open a window. And it's like, okay.
He's the God you have when you're not having a God.
Yes, he's the servant around your house. He opens your doors and your windows.
Oh, mate, so listen, next week we're starting a brand new series.
You keep saying that.
Listen, you got it in front of you on the running sheet. Don't give me a hard time here, Mr. Williams. I've only got 1 month where I've got to treat you as an equal, and after that I'm your senior again. Geez, not even a month, October. Oh, yeah, about a month. So we're going to start the seven pillars of wisdom next week.
Yes.
And the reason we haven't is because we have got a week this week where we're just catching up with a whole bunch of loose ends. We're just going to refer to some stories we picked up along the way, some letters that we've received. There's nothing special here, just some interesting stuff. So we're going to start today with Kenya. What's the news of Kenya, sir?
Well, the shows continue to be broadcast in Kenya. It seems that these are turning out to be the number one shows on the Catholic radio station and on the Muslim radio station.
Oh, really?
It really has.
So we still have good listenership?
Yes. We've paid up for about another month or so, and then we'll be going for another three-month contract with each radio station. They both have expressed interest in us continuing, so...
So all the news is great out of Kenya.
Good news right now, yes. We do have. I know that Moses has been having some headaches, and in the past has been diagnosed with migraines. So we're looking for him to get through all of this. And I don't know how he's been able to really carry out his work over the last probably 8 months with this condition. But I know that it's been tough every day.
Every day.
And he's even had blackout spells with these. But goodness gracious, yeah, I just cannot imagine the impact that this is having on their lives, having to go through this to the point of even blacking out from them.
For those of you who are new to this program, we, through a friend of ours in Kenya, Africa, whose name is Moses Gata, we have the gospel of grace and peace going out over two radio stations, a Muslim radio station and a Catholic radio station in that country. And over the airwaves, those stations carry out to, I think, a total of five different African nations. And the man who's made that all possible is the principal of the School of the Scriptures right there in Kenya.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Gospel Revolution.
Now, Michael, this week we have had some real wonderful feedback. I'm going to start with feedback we got from Betty Lou Hagen.
Okay.
And she wrote, and this was going back not to our shows on depression, but before that on things that have changed.
Betty Lou's been with us a long time. We really appreciate her too.
Yeah, this girl is Betty Lou Hagen is family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Betty Lou Hagen is.
Well, actually, I was skimming down through here, seeing what we were going to do, and all of these folks are pretty well long time. One of them is newer than the others, but boy, the impact on their life, it's, you wouldn't know. You would think they'd been listening for 30 years. So.
Well, one of them is better looking than the others too.
I know. I noticed that too. I immediately noticed which one I thought was better looking.
Well, we don't want to get any fights started here. So yeah. I mean, you'll know when we get to the person, when the people,
even though there's
know.
No ugly ones here. There is one that is particularly good looking.
Oh, no, you. All right. Betty Lou Hagen writes to us, hi, Mike and Beres. What a powerful teaching. It has answered some of my questions about the book of Revelations, especially about the part of God shall wipe away all their tears. Mm-hmm. And how it has been misquoted from Isaiah 25. Also, the teachings on new heaven and new earth has been eye-opening. In fact, all five changes Paul talks about in your last four podcasts has been enlightening to my heart. Thank you for sharing the good news. Love you guys. Betty Lou Hagen. G'day, Betty. How the heck are you today?
Mm-hmm. And Betty, thank you so much for noticing that. You know, I remember when I first taught on that, Beres, and I remember seeing the that RCA dog look coming from off people's faces.
What, the Roman Catholic authorized?
No.
What is that RCA thing?
You remember the, of course, here in the States, the RCA commercial was a one of these megaphones that the dog was sitting in front of with his head tilted sideways.
I used to see that every night on the way home when on the tram, and it was right next to another one, which I think is another iconic advertisement, and that is, did you guys here have the advertisement where it was, I think, a suntan lotion, and there's a little girl, just a little girl on the beach, and there's a dog that pulls the knickers down and up. Did you ever see that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they were together. And that
came from here. You guys didn't have anything unless it came from here.
Yeah, you're right. Murder, mayhem. Yeah.
So, but thank you for noticing this, because even though this seems to be a nuance, it's far from a nuance. We've gone back many times and looked at these, and of course, the only one that people know about is the quote that is done in Revelation. It is definitely a quote from this prophecy. And it says that God shall wipe away all tears from their faces. And, of course, that still is leaving room for this, there being this exclusive group, that a group of a few people that God's going to wipe away all of their tears about all subjects. When you go back and you read the prophecy, he is talking about God's wrath and God's rebuke on the earth, and he makes it very clear, and God shall wipe away tears from off all faces. So the difference is monumental. I mean, you almost have to listen closely to hear the difference. And then he says, why is he going to wipe away tears? Because his rebuke will be gone off of the earth. So it doesn't even talk, it's not even talking about wiping away tears because your mama died, because your cat died, because your dog died, you know, because you lost all your money or any of these things. There will still be tears from those things. But the thing that there will never be tears on this planet again, at least ones that are warranted, is tears pertaining to God being angry. And that is the gospel of peace. And thank you for catching that. And I got to say it again. Let me say again also that one of those other little nuances where that the translation misses it, which we've covered these, but it's a good place just to kind of run this in, and I get to talk more. And the verses in the New Testament says, "For they shall all know him," that no man shall have to say to his neighbor, saying, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know him from the least to the greatest. The word "know" there is the term which means knowledge. They will all mentally know him.
Kenosis.
Yes, kenosis. And that's the way it's translated. However, when you go back to where it was spoken from, the word "knowledge" in the Hebrew means to be blood related.
Yada.
It is just amazing the difference. So, and they shall all be blood related, as opposed to they'll all be have knowledge of him. One, it destroys the revelation of the inclusiveness of the gospel. In fact, both of those mistranslations destroys the inclusiveness of the gospel for everyone, or how that would be, and puts Christianity on steroids, for they shall all know him from the least to the greatest. So that means we got to get people out there. They got to know the Lord. They got to know the Lord. Well, the fact of it is, the original word for "know the Lord," they already all know the Lord. We're all already blood related through the work of the cross. That's good stuff, you know?
Mate, it is really good stuff.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me redeemed, when others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world, in the world.
Okay, moving on, we have, we received a letter. This is not on your running sheet, mate, because I've just changed, like usual, we just, the running sheet's gone out the window again. But we got an email, or at least Jeff did, and he responded to it, and I'm looking at the picture of the most gorgeous family, just a lovely, lovely family, Burmese mm-hmm. family, and the email goes from Mong Sohila, and the subject is, "We are pleased to meet you. Hello, Jeff. I ordered a lot of teaching from Mike Williams Ministries. It was really completely transformed my life. I am married and have four beautiful children. I am originally from Burma, but live in Switzerland for 7 years now. I work at a secular job, but after listening to the teaching from Mike Williams, I want to move back to Burma and preach the gospel to our people who never have heard the gospel. I plan to move back to Burma on December this year." Moses, you have got competition, fella. So you better just pull your finger out and get moving over there in Kenya. I plan to come to the US and visit some people that I know in October, shortly before I move back to Burma. It would be a great honor for me if I can meet with you and Mike Williams, but I don't know that this will be possible or not. Thank you again for sharing the gospel with me. In Christ, Mong. Well, where did this one come from, mate?
Well, I noticed that we were having purchases, one right after the other, over several months from this person named Mong. And I asked Jeff to if he knew anything about it. And he said, "Well, I don't." He says, "But I'll pursue it to see what I can find out." And he did, and this was the response that we got. Only after about 2 or 3 months, Jeff had sent the email, and we did not hear back. This email actually was sometime after Jeff had found their email address. He said, "You better not order anything from us, because we'll track you down." No, the only reason we did this is because we were very interested in the fact that this was someone who was absorbing everything that we were putting out. So as it turns out now, since this, his plan is to come through Houston in his trip that he's making. I think it is, I can't remember if it's October or November that he'll be coming through here. However, we've got the time set aside, and he knows when I'm going to be here, so I've invited him. He'll be here by himself, traveling without his family at the time. So we're going to be getting together, and I'm looking so forward to this that I get to be encouraged by hearing this man's story and what's going on. When you can reach out and touch someone from a country like Burma, which Burma's had its share of troubles, you know,
mm-hmm.
and as Kenya has. So it's like we're beginning to find a Moses, if you will, for a lot of these really troubled and torn areas of the world to be able to share the gospel in. So we welcome you to Houston, and we're looking forward to spending time with you, and we will support in any way we can your efforts in Burma to bring the gospel to these precious people.
What a wonderful gift, mate, for mm-hmm. for us to have been able to meet this person, and they're going to take the gospel back to Burma. Wow.
Folks, the gospel is being taken into the most difficult parts of the planet right now, at least some of them, not all of them. We have several spots that are just very, very difficult at the moment and have been. So this is very interesting, number one, just to watch this take place, but it's also very exciting to be able to be supportive to these people, like Hmong and also, Moses. So we, goodness gracious, we champion you guys and we love you. And this is not the only area of the world this is happening. We did not ask him to uproot his life in Switzerland. I'm not sure I would leave Switzerland if I got there. I mean,
man, knowing Burma, no way in the world.
Exactly. Even knowing the United States, I don't think I would leave Switzerland.
Forget the United States. Switzerland has the best chocolate, mate. The best chocolate. I mean, who would want to leave?
The best chocolate. Yeah. Who wants to leave the best chocolate? There's no way.
Come on, get your priorities right here.
I do have now. You have kicked me into reality here, my friend. So to leave this area of the world, which is known for its neutrality and peace, and go into an area of the world.
And chocolate.
And chocolate. I wonder if they have chocolate in Myanmar. That would be a real tragedy. We always tell people to follow their heart, and that's the only thing we can say here to this precious family. Mm. We would certainly never ask someone to go do something like this. Because if it's not in your heart to do it, you should not be doing it. I'm just very, very keen on that. We don't go around trying to recruit people to go do anything. And in fact, we'll make you stop and check yourself to see whether or not this really is what your heart says you should do before we would be supportive of it.
And this photo, mate, gorgeous. 1, 2, 3, 4 kids.
I know. I've seen it.
The most cheeky, the most... wonderful. Okay.
Spread the religion of the rhythm of life.
Now, Michael, we also heard from Nico Vandenacker from Ontario, yes. Canada, and Nico said this to us: since everyone is already the same and all know him.
Oh, that's interesting. It's in this letter, and that "know him" is in quotes.
Yeah. Is there a way of explaining what happens to a person when they have a believing experience for the first time? Because it does seem like something happens and the person is never the same anymore. Thank you, Nico.
Well, it's any believing experience, whether it takes place in a Pentecostal church or a Baptist church or Catholic church. There is an experience, and we've never, ever challenged that experience, it does seem like something happens and the person is never the same again.
So when the preacher says, come to the front and give your heart to Jesus, And you go there and then they take you into the side room and you sign the card or whatever happens and somebody prays for you and tells you that now you are...
Now you're forgiven.
Now you're forgiven. You feel good.
You absolutely do feel good. Now, the one thing that I would say is probably not an accurate statement in its entirety. In some cases it is. It is that those people are never the same again. Well, that's probably true, but sometimes it's they're never the same again for the good, and then for the biggest part, majority of their life, they're never the same again toward the bad. Now, why is that? It's very important what causes you to become a believer. What causes you to have that believing experience? Now, the heart is always looking for this open and forgiven relationship with God. The heart needs that knowledge. The heart wants that knowledge. And it is the gnosis of this. It is, it really is coming to this knowledge of, and in fact, he's making reference that we already know him in that what we just went through about the difference between the New Testament translation of that word and the Hebrew translation of that word. So it's very important that we don't ever disparage anybody having a, quote, believing experience or a, quote, salvation experience, I think would probably clarify this a little bit better for us. So what is a believing experience? A believing experience is a salvation experience. I think everyone would agree with that. It's that point to where that you feel clean. You feel right with God. But see, if I convince you, as Christianity convinced us, that all we had to do is believe. And when we believed and we confessed our sins, that we would have this salvation experience. I did it. I did it many times. I had a believing experience time after time after time after time.
Can I read to you what I wrote this week on our Facebook page?
Sure.
I wrote this, something I found myself writing elsewhere in response to the question. So, Beres, just curious, have you received the free gift of salvation? Just wondering. And I wrote back, yes, I have received the free gift of salvation, and I appreciate your interest. It happened at 3:40 on a Wednesday afternoon in 19 Raff Avenue, Holland Park, alone in my bedroom when I was 13, and I told Jesus that I did not want to keep doing the bad things I was doing. I asked Jesus into my heart and repented of my sins. It happened again a year later after I was arrested for robbing a store. Also a year after that when I was arrested for burglary and robbery. And a year after that again. I repeated the process because I was told that if I backslid, then that meant that I was never born again in the first place.
Exactly.
To tell the truth, I was probably the most saved kid in Brisbane at the time, though I am sure that the record has passed to some other poor unlucky sap in the meantime. But as the big people always knew better than a schmuck like me, I kept getting born again, again, until something in my deformed brain finally realized, this don't work. Later, when I realized that I had thrown the baby out with the bathwater, I came to a place where I learned to love the Lord out of the sheer exuberance born of a freedom I dared not give words to.
Mm-hmm.
When I strip away all the posturing and other stuff that defies understanding at times, it has never left me. And guess what? I have never been born again since.
Oh, my. Thank you, Beres. I like you.
Careful, careful. Arm's length here, fella.
No, I want a hug right now. This is beautiful and very true. To back up what I was saying, it depends on by what means you become a believer and by what means you have a salvation experience.
Mm.
Because as you described so well, if that salvation experience has your involvement in it at all, it is going to be an experience that is temporary. And the much of what happens in a person's life is that they are never the same again, is that they become fakes and phonies. Mm. That is what changes forever, is that they're never able to be honest with themselves or with anyone else ever again. For you to have kept your salvation, your first salvation experience, you would have had to have lied about doing the things you did later.
Mm.
You would have had to be dishonest about it. You would have had to had a pretense of still having that wonderful experience, because these experiences are based on performance, or at least they are followed up by performance. No, I take that back. It's based on performance, because you have to believe. But by any means, I remember when we were talking about this a few years ago. You see, if I started was a person with that had a voice of some authority, and I started telling people that if you when the moon is full and on the fifth hour of the night when the moon is full, if you go to your backyard
on a month with the letter R in it,
yes, and you stand on 1 foot and you hold one hand to the north, and you begin to bay at the moon and howl like a wolf.
Ow!
At that moment, you will be forgiven.
Woohoo.
Now, let me tell you, that person who becomes convinced that that's how salvation works would have no less of an impact in their life in salvation than the person going to the altar call in the Baptist church. None less whatsoever.
So I think I'm hearing you say, when your mind becomes possessed of an idea that you believe could or is real if only you act on it, and then you act on it,
the experience will follow.
The chemistry in the brain will take care of making sure that you have a euphoric experience, which is what you're saying the experience will follow. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Our whole mission in the Gospel Revolution is to stop this from happening.
Stop the euphoria?
Well, euphoria based on a false premise, you bet. That's what we want to get rid of. And this is what we're condemned for. But you see, if we were trying to get rid of people's good experiences, that's not what we're after. We're after people resolving that these good experiences have led to devastating consequences in their lives.
Such as?
Such as living a life that isn't lived in honesty before themselves or anyone else.
Would that include expectations that never come true?
That would be a very big one right up front, yes.
What kind of expectations?
Expectations that God is going to hear you, and now that you're right with God, your prayers are going to be answered, and you're going to feel God at all times. This is what leads us to the point where that we no longer have the experience, but we must maintain the external actions that validate that we did. That is called dead religion. You're going through the motions. You know, you're putting on the suit, you're going to church, you're paying your tithes, you're doing your deeds, and yet behind the scenes, you don't have a, quote, new life at all. You're doing all the same things that you were before. In many cases, some people do change their habits. There's people that were alcoholics that give up alcoholism. There's people who do have drastic changes in their lives. But they find it a struggle later on.
Well, the other thing they find is that when they try to replicate that in other people, it doesn't seem to be as universal as they had hoped or thought that it might be. Did I ever tell you about the man who had the experience? He was a backwoods boy, whenever a visitor came, he wanted to share his experience of having met the Lord and been born again. So he would go up to his bedroom, and out of the second drawer on the right side of the Duchess, he would pull an old piece of paper, and he'd bring it downstairs to the kitchen table and flatten it out, and he would read about the experience. And the experience was a wonderful experience. It was how that his burden had been lifted, and he was going to one day, I'll fly away. And everything that was is now new, and I'm not the person I was. And one day he had a visitor, and the visitor came and he said, I want to share my experience with you. So he went up to his bedroom, and when he put his hand in to get the piece of paper, he'd found that the mice had eaten it. And he came down and he told the person at the table, "I'd like to tell you my experience, but the mouse ate it."
I'm waiting, Bears.
Well, the moral of the story is this. Sometimes our experience, though wonderful and real and precious and euphoric and something which gave our brain a quick injection of serotonin, is nothing more than just that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if your experience doesn't add up to anything more than just something you can record on a piece of paper, well, what kind of experience really is it? I mean, maybe the mice will eat it.
No, exactly. And this is what we are trying to communicate with people. I think we're being successful because these responses say that we're being successful, is that people are, they don't have to deny the salvation experiences that they have had in their Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic churches. We've not asked anybody to deny them.
Not once.
Have we even implied that it would be important or beneficial to renounce or say this didn't really happen? Because there's something so much greater than that, we don't even have to address these things. The wonderful thing about the gospel is that this salvation experience, this realization of forgiveness of sin, is a permanent realization because the author and finisher of it is permanent. You're not a part of what causes the experience to be there. I got a call from Eva Mull yesterday.
Oh, how is Eva?
Well, you just should hear her. I can't.
Every time I hear her, I don't understand her. What do you mean I should hear her?
Well, you should hear this. You don't have to understand her to hear her. She called. She started attending a Korean church out there. It's got about 30 people in it. And this pastor is making gospel statements that's just blowing her mind. But anyway, she called and it was like, "Oh, Michael, I am so happy. I don't know what to do with myself." And it's a beautiful message. I did save the message, and maybe we can pull it off so that you can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness, this has been, she's been experiencing this over and 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 over. And it's really the same experience. It just gets rekindled every time she hears the slightest thing about the gospel. And now she's actually getting to hear it from a Korean pastor, which we've got to find out more about this Korean pastor.
I reckon.
Now.
But just for our listeners, this is a woman who was married to one of our very dear friends, who Richard Mull, who was a gospel revolutionary. And in fact, I think he was an apostle, or at least a bishop of the gospel revolution.
At least. Oh, my goodness, yes.
In fact, I mean, he's passed now, but we will just posthumously give him the title of apostle.
Yes.
Yep.
Apostle John.
Apostle John. Who's Apostle John?
It fits him.
Oh, okay. Oh,
John,
okay.
Richard John Mull.
Oh, Richard John. Okay. And his wife, Eva, was a Korean lady who he had met in Korea. This is a man who was shot down 3 times as a U.S. Air Force pilot. This is the most incredible guy. But his wife refused to accept the gospel because she had been raised in Christianity in South Korea. And after his death, we have to tell you this, family. After his death, and I think because, Mike, I reckon Richard was just this darn smart. He just said, "I am not going to be here for long. I'm going to go to the car. I'm going to stick a CD in the player. And when she goes to drive that car, she's going to hear." She heard the gospel for the first time. And
yes, Book of Romans.
Yeah, and rings Michael and says, well, I don't know what she said because I never understand Eva Mull. I just know that she's so full of excitement about the gospel.
This was 2 months after Richard's death.
Wow.
That she goes out and decides that she's keeping Richard's car and going to sell hers, and turns it on and picked up right where Richard left off.
Big mistake. Huge.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So this powerful story, and that's when all of her experiences were put into perspective of this one experience, which is what we are trying to get people to understand. You don't have to have a different experience every time. It can be based on the same thing. I remember Glenn Klein making the statement all the time, you know, I just got saved all over again.
Oh, I loved hearing him say that. Yeah.
And that's what it's like. It's like getting saved all over again. So, yes, that's would be my answer to this letter from Nico. We do not deny this believing or salvation experience that people have. But you got to understand that these people have this in religions that do not include Christ even whatsoever. The experience can be had by people who do not know Christ, but the experience is never had by someone that Christ does not know.
Oh, that's good.
So you don't have to deny any of those experiences and the effectiveness of them in bringing some peace and tranquility. We're just telling you, stop playing with toys and come into the vastness of the understanding of this redemption of the entire world through not man's participation with, but truly indeed a free gift to the entire planet.
Now, if you wanted to, now we're not saying to people, hey, don't spend 5 minutes a day meditating on the greatness of this
exactly.
gospel and returning yourself to a place of wonderful peace. We're not saying that, are we? We're just saying stop playing with toys. Go
yes.
for the real thing.
Don't use that as a means of, because it wouldn't be, of course, the meditation that we're talking about, people that do these things are not meditating on the gospel. There's nothing wrong with meditating, and it can be beneficial. It's been proven to be beneficial in people's lives. There's just something greater. The sun shines brighter than the moon, okay?
Okay, one glory, another glory. Let's not even go there. Okay.
I'm not a stranger to pain. I was in the military for over 21 years, served in combat, got beat up, shot down, shot at, crashed in aircraft, you name it. I'm no stranger to pain. And when your focus is on what you need to be doing at the time, whatever it was, like rescuing somebody or picking up something, somebody off a landing zone or fighting back the enemy or just preserving your own life, you don't focus on pain. You focus on the thing at hand that is most dear to you, the thing that is deep in your heart. And at that time, it was survival. And the pain is secondary, tertiary. You don't even notice it, even when you get a foot blown off or a hand blown off or whatever. You don't really focus on the pain if you've got a purpose in mind and a focus going on within you. It's the same way with the gospel. When you have the gospel in you and your focus is on the gospel and on Christ and what he did at the cross, and knowing that you're one with God, you don't have to focus on these other things and let them overwhelm you, overcome you, overburden you. You just keep your focus on the gospel. And these other things just kind of fall by the wayside and they just kind of drop off like, you know, feathers off a bird eventually when he's growing new feathers or whatever, scales off a lizard or a snake, shedding his skin. It doesn't matter. It's just a natural process that happens. And these things just fall to the wayside.
We appreciate you calling, and we hope you got saved tonight.
Oh, definitely. The whole time I'm listening, I'm getting saved. I love every minute of it. All right. Bye, Michael. Bye, Glenn.
Bye-bye.
Gospel Revolution.
Mike, this week we heard from Rob Dorsey. Now, here's another long-term gospel revolutionary, and he wrote this. Beres, I just finished listening to the recent podcast for GR Considering Depression. The timing was beautifully perfect. It's been nearly 10 years since my last serious bout with the disease. However, the last 2 months has nearly brought me to my knees. Right now, I feel hope. My small support system is strong, but that podcast revealed a lot. I thank God for yours and Mike's and much GR's heart and help through that venue. Bless you, brothers, and again, thanks.
Yeah, Robin, he's another one of those that's been around for a long time and is in contingency for being one of the best looking of this group.
Oh, really? Oh, you're going to go? You are going there? Oh, man.
We're not saying which one, but you do know that Rob is in the running for what the best looking of this group that we got these letters
you
from.
You can actually say that while you're looking at me over Skype. You can actually say that?
I'm looking at you saying it. So, Rob has...
Hey, did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
That was my breath being taken away. I'm gobsmacked.
Rob has been one of those that have been around a long time with Gospel Revolution. But here, Rob is another one of those, as we gave our experiences of this invasion into depression. Rob had had depression, consistent depression, before he heard the gospel the first time. Now, here is something very, very important, okay? And that is that Rob has explained how that over the last couple of years, though, he has not been able to be that much participating in hearing or listening or carrying on conversations about the gospel. And in that time, he has had this depression has started looming again. We don't know that there's a direct connection. We're just, like we told you the last PowerCast, and we explained our experiences. These are our experiences, and now you're getting Rob's experience here. Folks, I really do believe that it is important to rehearse the gospel, to carry on conversations, to listen to the CDs. There are people that challenge this, but I really do believe that it is important, because we live in a world where another way of thinking is predominant. And when you escape that way of thinking, remember I told you last time, the gospel doesn't tell you what to think. It gives you a new way of thinking. It changes the way that we think, the way we process things. And if we don't pay some attention to this, then our way of thinking is going to begin to revert back to the old way of thinking. The old way of thinking, of course, is going to bring about the very same results that it did the first time around.
Yeah.
This is all there is to it. I know by my experience that just doing the PowerCast is such a wonderful lift for me each week. I mean, it lifts my mind to a realm of conceiving things and viewing things in the way that I know they actually are, based on a gospel perspective. No matter who you are, you can, without having some rehearsal of this going on in your life, whether it's through CDs or somebody to talk with, our guys down in Georgia that meet every Monday morning, I believe it is.
Mel Gibson, who owns a Martin guitar, and who's that, Al Vitale?
I don't think it's Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Mel Gibson. Yeah, he owns a Martin guitar. How about Mel Martin, who owns a Gibson guitar?
There you go. And then he and Al Vitale, I think it is, it gets together, and they listen to the PowerCast that comes out on Thursday. I'm not sure what day they get together then and listen to it. But then our friends over in Arizona, two of our friends there that get together. And
is that that's Bob? Brad?
Yes, that's who
Brad.
It is.
Yeah.
And these guys, they and their wives showed up at our little meeting that we did out in Palm Springs. These guys stay encouraged all the time. I mean, this is just really amazing how much they benefit from this rehearsal, if you will, of the things they know and the possibilities of the new things they could be learning. For someone to say that rehearsing or listening again and again and again is not beneficial is to say we already know everything we need to know. I can't wait until Thursday evening rolls around and I get this email from Jeff asking me to approve of the advertisement and what he's put together. And by the time I send that back approved, I've already hit the button and started listening to the PowerCast. Why should I listen to it? I was one of the two parties that did it because I get so much out of it. It's just amazing what it does. I mean, I hear these things. I said these things, and I heard Barris say what he had to say. And thank God he cut out most of what he had to say. I mean, that's the reason we have to edit on this program. We have to edit Aussieism out here. All you just would not believe. Hey, you guys, when we go to the new website, the cutting room floor is going to be on this site. And I'm telling you, I'm not sure that Barris's reputation is going to handle this cutting room floor. I don't know what's going to happen when that all takes place.
Ain't it a good thing I've got very low expectations?
So the, you know, the fact of it is that hearing this PowerCast for me does me good. And I was the one who recorded it just a couple of days before. And man, I listened to this with great anticipation each and every week. And it does something for me, Barris. It does something for me. Even though we recorded it ourselves, I listened to this, and it does something for me.
What we meditate on is crucial in what we are and become. Mm-hmm. And Rob, thank you for this email. Thank you so much.
Bless your heart. Yeah, and we're here with you, my friend. Goodness, if you ever need to give us a call and you need to talk, we're here. I know at least three gentlemen on this staff that would be ready to talk anytime and just carry on a good gospel. It's not that you call and talk about your problems. You know talking about your problems isn't going to do you any good anyway. But if you need to, we're here for it. But what most of you guys need is somebody just to rehearse the gospel with. Just bring up a point, and we'll jump into it with you. Any one of us, you guys that are in the gospel revolution, you know, try to get in contact with each other just to have conversations, even if you only meet once every 6 months or something. This would be really fantastic for all of you. You need this contact.
Particularly over ribs. Now, Al Vitale and I met over ribs the other day. We meet a bit more than every 6 months over ribs. We have the communion of the ribs.
Yes.
And then again, last week on Tuesday, I had communion. I held communion with my buddy Billy Couch. Now, there's a guy who will make you feel like you're just natural. I mean, and we just sit and talk about it doesn't matter. Yeah. And he'll ask me things, and I'll say, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. But just being with these people, being with people of a like mind is just so uplifting.
Regardless of what group you're in, it is uplifting. And then now we've got the fact that the thing that we are like-minded about being the gospel. Are you kidding me? Mm-mm. This is better than a Super Bowl game.
The older you get, the more your brain cells get filled up with garbage, and it's hard to dump those things. I've tried to do one of those dumps where you just go and plug in somewhere and just let all the old crap out and make room for the new. It just doesn't work that way. You got to override it somehow, and I'm working on that.
Bring your doubts, bring your fears, bring your hurt, and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here. Time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world.
Michael, this week we heard also from Ruby Kwong.
Now,
Ruby,
she's a sweetheart. Oh, my goodness.
Is she?
Yes.
What, are you keeping her a secret from me? How come I haven't met her?
Well, Ruby is one of those gospel revolutionaries that everybody needs to know, that's for sure.
Is she first-generation American?
No, she has. She's Canadian, number one. Not everybody has to be in an American, Barris.
I just thought there was only two countries in the world, and you were one of them. My gosh.
No, there's Canada is the other one. That's the only only two, Canada and the United States. So,
All right. She writes, "Hello, Mike. I want to just thank you and Beres for the power casts. I don't know or remember if I told you my second son committed suicide 7 years back, and I had a hard time getting my head around that. But now that I have the gospel, it has made a world of difference. Mike, I'm experiencing freedom every day and am so grateful to know that all my family and friends are okay. I am so looking forward to listening to the PowerCast again. I need to hear it several more times. Much love, Ruby Kwong." I think she was talking about one of the PowerCasts on depression. But how about that? Talk about looking forward to hearing the PowerCast. You just said that. And Ruby, it takes strength to even write the words you wrote today. Thank you.
Oh, my dear friend. And I, you know, to point out the very end of this is that she says, "I need to hear it several more times." She's just underscoring what we've just said. Please don't let anyone downplay the necessity to hearing this gospel and hearing the CDs and hearing them over and over. It is needed because it's not that you need to hear that same thing over and over again. It provokes thought.
You know, listening to the truth again and again, what it does is it sets our anchor deep down in the truth so that it can't be moved.
It does. And again, Ruby, we thank you so much for sending this heartfelt email to us. People need to know that the other people out there that are listening have experienced life, and we've gone through these things. And no guarantees that we won't experience them again. But that's not what this understanding of the gospel does. It does not change what you may or may not experience, but it sure will change the way you think about it and how you handle these things. Anyone who tells me they've lost a child and they've found anything that has given them relief, true relief, to be able to exist and draw air into their lungs on a daily basis in a relative degree of peace, I'm willing to listen. And we're listening to you, Ruby, and we thank you so much for everything that you do for the gospel. Ruby is an active participant in the gospel revolution, and we love you, we support you, and we thank you.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
I see this time and again in the gospel revolution. There are people out there with stories that, by God, they should be dead. But they're not. They're actually more alive than they ever have. Here's another one of them right here, Michael.
Yes.
Our buddy Danny Rogers says, "I know we're all one. I've heard Mike say the Holy Ghost is a great teacher. His teachings on grace and peace are like no others I've heard." Now, that's the truth. "How did Mike seem to connect with the Holy Ghost as his teacher while others seem to have missed this connection? And what exactly is the Holy Ghost?" I feel like I should already know this, but I don't. If you could answer this, it would really add to the happiness that the gospel has brought into my life.
Most of the things that I believe and understand from the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, I would have to say that I initially rejected all of it.
You too?
Yes, I would say that I initially rejected it all. So it wasn't like that I was just this conduit, you know, hooked up to truth more than anyone else. I had this naive assumption that everybody just really wanted to know the truth. I really did believe that. Beres, I cannot believe how naive I was. And that anybody who found out these truths once that I had been able to establish that they, goodness gracious, these are real, this is real, that they would all just jump up and down for joy, and regardless of income or giving up anything, because isn't the truth the most wonderful thing? It's not that others don't hear. But the eventually you do have to come to that point to where that truth is more important than money. Truth is more important than fame. Truth is more important than notoriety. That truth has to be that thing that will not necessarily give you better health, give you better finances, give you a better marriage, better relationships, that it's just truth because it's the truth. Christianity has attached truth to your circumstances, whether it's personal, financial, or whatever. The power of the gospel is that it's true totally detached from circumstances, what they might be. This is a state of being that we are talking about, not a way to manipulate and control what is going to happen or not happen in your life. So whether it falls in the realm of mysticism or Christianity or Catholicism, any one of them that teaches, whether they admit it or not, cause and effect principles, I am not there because that is contrary to the freedom of the gospel.
Well, that is just simply karma.
Yes, karma is cause and effect.
So how did Mike seem to connect with the Holy Ghost as his teacher while others seem to have missed this connection?
Well, again, it's just basically the things that I shared with you. I don't think that others missed it at all, but you at some point have to decide that that what you're hearing and what you're learning is more important than your fame and your fortune.
And the second question, and what exactly is the Holy Ghost?
The Holy Spirit is, number one, the great teacher to me. I'm really honest with you, I really don't know the Holy Ghost in any other capacity as far as a functioning capacity other than the great teacher. I'm not saying it's his only capacity, but it's the only one I can conceive of.
Comforter?
He is that also, but he is the comforter in his teachings. Because that's all the same teaching by Jesus as to what the Holy Ghost, the great teacher, would do. He is called the Comforter. Therefore, he will teach you these three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment.
The Holy Spirit is a comforter.
Who is a teacher.
And whose teachings will center on?
On those three things is what his teachings center on.
And the effect would be?
With him being the comforter, it would be comforting.
Danny, I hope that answered your question. And when Danny asked this question, he said, well, I was asking you, Barris, but, and I said, well, why don't I put it to Mike on the show? He said, well, aren't people getting sick of my questions? And the answer is, no, we don't get sick of questions because questions are
the lifeblood of the gospel revolution.
Says it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war. I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
Michael, this week, Victor Brennan, our dear friend from Canada, he wrote to one of the local newspapers up there and gave him a bit of a hiding. But I'm not going to read all of what he wrote to the paper. I'm just going to read this much. We can make this world a beautiful place or a hellhole. It's time to dump the tribalism that has always held back our innate fraternalism that is actually there if it is stirred up in the environment of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
When is the world going to wake up to the fact that humanity is indeed one on this planet? Black, yellow, white, red, bronze, all colors and races, all sexual orientations and all in between, contrary to all religion, humanity is one. Go for it, Vic.
Oh, what a powerful statement. And thank God he had the fortitude to say it as it is. Contrary to all religion, humanity is one. My. The article is very good. He causes people to have to stop and look at the big picture rather than, again, taking the 50-cent piece and holding it up over your eye. He really does cause us to open both eyes and to look at the bigger picture of some of the issues that we're dealing with around the planet right now. But that is the whole context of the gospel revolution. And we are, you know, we get hammered pretty hard by evangelical Christians and people who have Christian sensitivities, that we are really hard on Christians. But that's not true. We're hard on everybody.
Yeah, we're equal opportunity haters, are we? Huh?
We really are. We'll put the big squeeze on anybody. You know, it doesn't make any difference. As long as that religion is contrary to the reality that humanity is one. Now, the reason we focus on Christianity is one very obvious reason. That's what we came out of. That's what we're most versed in. Number two, the second reason that we put the big squeeze on Christianity more than anyone else is because Christianity claims exclusive rights to the name of Christ and the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They are the ones who have taken the gospel hostage. They are the ones who claim that the name of Christ and all things pertaining to that is in somewhere in their 40,000 denominations of confusion. And we're saying it's not in any of their 40,000 denominations, that there is a gospel that is so powerful that it reveals that humanity is one. Even as Vic de Brennan declares here in his article to the newspaper there in his area there in Canada. And boy, we hope this gets some 50-cent pieces off of people's eyes. And even if it don't, just opens the other eye, you know. And even if one eye is completely covered, if you just open the other one, sometimes
that'll
you'll
do
see
it.
A little bit more than what you do.
That'll do it.
Yep.
Gospel Revolution.
And this week, Michael, this story is about a porn star in an unauthorized church sex scene. She was caught out after a viewer recognized her breasts. Can we say that word?
I take it that you were not saying pawn star.
Porn star.
Pawn.
She's a porn star. What do you call them?
Like a pawn shop. You're not saying pawn.
No, I'm not
pawn.
Saying pawn
You're
shop. Saying... You, I said a porn star. We have both in Australia, thanks to Hollywood. We have both in Australia. We got pawn shops and porn stars.
Oh, yeah. Blame it all.
Well,
on
you said earlier we wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for you. Hello.
None of the good stuff.
Oh, right. Well, some people, you know, good stuff and porn. Here is a story. A woman accused of making a porn movie in a church was caught. And honestly, she's not. I'm looking at the picture and I'm doing that for you people out there so that you don't have to look at this picture because I sacrifice myself in this manner. I'm looking at this picture right now, Michael. Now, you're seeing this on the running sheet. I've seen worse than that in church on a Sunday morning. Get out of here. Really? I have seen way worse. A friend of mine, she said, her name's Jenny, and she said, why should my husband Jeff have to go to church and have to avert his eyes in church? And a darn good question if you ask me. Anyway, a woman accused of making a porn movie in a church was caught after a man recognized her breasts. The film features a woman opening her top and caressing her breasts inside the church in Austria. Now,
inside the church
in Austria. Now, you've got to remember, in Austria, yeah. Part of Germany, there is a tax taken up of every single individual in the land for the support of churches. Now, not many people are aware of that, but it's fascinating.
Wow.
She clutches a rosary and what appears to be a Bible, but at no point is her face revealed. The images were shown by local media as part of a police appeal to trace the woman, and a man told officers he recognized her by her breasts. What did she have? Did she have three or something? Police investigating allegations, now get this, mate, of offending religious feeling and desecration of a church. Have arrested a 24-year-old woman who they say has made similar films under the name Babsy. Babsy, that's not a bad. I would have expected Candy or something, but Babsy, who could be jailed for up to 6 months if convicted. Not convicted of public
indecency.
No. She might be convicted of allegations of offending religious feeling and desecration of the church. Now, family, I want you to listen. As I'm saying this, I want you to bear in mind what we talked about the things that have been changed. And one of the things that have been changed is things which are sanctified places and sanctified altars and things like that. We mentioned this a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So apparently in Austria, in a country where they collect a head tax from every single citizen for the upkeep of churches, she might get 6 months for offending religious feeling and desecration of a church. The sacraments, which were celebrated in the past few weeks in the parish church, are still considered valid. Well, thank God for that, those poor people. A spokesman for the Diocese of Linz told the Austrian Times. The incident led to a debate in Austria. I mean, the whole country is now up in arms. Oh, my gosh, what about whether the church would need to be reconsecrated, Michael? But it was decided it didn't the woman's sins had not been enough to drive out God. Oh, okay, you listen to this, Mike? The diocese added that a local bishop might need to perform a service of purification. Now, Mike, here's my question. Who do you reckon the man was who might have recognized her breasts?
Well, exactly. And the reality of, the poor woman probably thought she believed in these people and probably thought, if I do this, there won't be anybody in my church that would recognize me for sure. But obviously that's not
no,
the case.
No, mate. Hey, hang on. There's only one person I can think of in the church who would know anyone. I mean, who would be looking through? Now, this was a Catholic church. Who would be looking through the confessional? Maybe could stand up in the confessional and look down on. I mean, who would recognize a woman's breath?
Well, I'm not going into this with you. I think there's a lot of possibilities that we have not considered as to why or as to who it might be.
I think it was a priest. I'm just going to put the words in your mouth. The priest is the one who called the cops in this story.
Uh-huh. Well, here's the thing, is that it's kind of hypocritical to say that she desecrated this place, yet the communions that they received after the desecration were valid.
There were two things. I just got to point out there were two things, apparently.
Yes. So the reality of the desecration, that's what this whole thing about sanctified territory is. It makes the religious performances conducted there valid. That's why it's sanctified. If it becomes desecrated, the religious acts performed there are not valid. So the hypocrisy of them saying that what she did desecrated this religiously sanctified place, yet the performance of the religious acts done in supposedly benefit for the people were still good, done in a desecrated place. Then why not just go out and do this in your backyard? If it worked, even after desecration of the temple, why use the temple at all? Because if it's desecrated or not, then what they just proved is that this consecrated place is unnecessary for them to carry out these religious observances.
Hey, just a minute. Just give me a minute here. Okay, that'll do. I was just checking out the photo again. Okay, the next story today is from this is from the Sun Herald too, and it is that last story came from the Austrian Times. This comes from the sunherald.com, and it is telling us that that Mississippi is the most religious state in America. Mm-hmm. And they told us how they did this. Mississippi, where liking religion is a way of life. It's really, really religious, and that's all there is to it. If your first hint wasn't the highest percentage of people who like prayer on Facebook, there should have been, what? That sounds like a legitimate survey. There should have been a few other clues. For example, over half the people in the state identified as religious in some way, and half of those people regularly attend some sort of service or place of worship. Hopefully it's not a place of worship which could ever get desecrated. Top all that off with the third highest places of worship per capita, and it's easy to see why Mississippi is queen of all the religious states. There's only one problem with this that I see, Mike, and that is that 6 months ago there was another survey that said Mississippi had the most porn downloads of anywhere in the USA. What do you do with that, buddy?
Well, that you do with that what is done every time this takes place. Every place where Christianity has its strongest foothold, that's where pornography has its strongest foothold. I remember back when the Promise Keepers were doing their thing where that, you know, this is an all men's
group. You're not going to tell
us
that again. Oh, tell us, please.
And the hotels where that they stayed, where Promise Keepers stayed, reported that the largest sales that they had. Of course, this was men swearing to purity. These men would bring their sons and sons bring their grandpas, and it was all men. And it was a Promise Keepers. They were making promises that they weren't going to be immorally impure, and they were going to be faithful to their wives, and young boys weren't going to have sex, you know, before marriage and
well,
all
that. That's wonderful. What could possibly be wrong? I mean, what could go wrong with that?
Well, it would be great if this was not the means by which it's great to make these promises. It's great to make these commitments if that's what you so desire. But when you're doing it to be right with God, it has a minefield that comes installed with the promise. And one of those minefields happened to be upstairs in the room. Where that you could click on and very easily buy a porn movie at the hotels where that these guys stayed. And these hotels, one of them in particular, reported that their highest sales for porn was during Promise Keepers meetings.
Woohoo!
And this is nothing new. Increased Christianity is increased pornography. It just goes hand in hand for some reason.
Well, pick my peas.
Gospel Revolution.
Now, here's a teaser for the next few weeks. Family, we are going to be doing, that's Michael's going to be doing, and I'm just going to be interjecting silliness. We're going to be doing a series. In fact, we're redoing a series, and I don't really know if we're redoing it so much as we're going to cover this anyway. The Seven Pillars of Wisdom.
Yes.
Seven Pillars of Wisdom was a series of messages in a series called The Redemption of the World, as I recall, that was available on the old Gospel Logic website, which is no longer funked. It is now defunct. And it was done, I think, at a really quite a big church, just as Michael was being given the left boot of fellowship from Christianity. These seven pillars of wisdom include things like redemption, sin and forgiveness, scripture, what is it, death and resurrection, predestination, freedom, and fulfillment. And I have been listening and transcribing these messages, and family, I have to tell you that if you thought the things that had changed were good, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Only the people who remember these old series will probably realize how masterfully Michael taught on these things and covered them under the words out of Proverbs 9 verse 1, who says that wisdom has built a house, she has hewn out seven pillars. Do you want to give us any teasers in all of this, Mike, for the next few weeks? Oh, and by the way, family, if you have any friends and you wanted them to listen to anything, get them to listen to these.
Mm-hmm.
They will get, just get them to listen to these. Is there any, what do you want to tell us, Mike, about this upcoming series?
Well, number one, let me say that the thing that you'll be able to draw from this is this one fact, and that is virtually everything, and I do mean everything, that I teach falls under these seven categories of these seven pillars of wisdom. And they are wisdom. Now, remember, Paul taught us about wisdom, that the wisdom of God is not like the wisdom of man, that it is actually quite just the opposite to that. And so we're going to discover just a little bit about wisdom, and then we're going, then you'll understand why that we designate these seven pillars of wisdom to be these doctrines. And please understand, there's a lot of people who are writing us saying, you know, I'd kind of like to have something that would kind of encapsulate this entire thing. So get your notepads out and jot down the verses. And by the end of this, you can write down at the top of it the pillar that we are covering that time. We're going to give you scripture references. You can jot down a couple of notes. So you'll have a page on redemption, a page on sin, a page on scripture, a page on death and resurrection, a page on predestination, a page on freedom, a page on fulfillment. And you probably, if it we do what we normally do, you'll probably have several more pages also. But virtually everything that I teach, I'm telling you, it is everything that I teach falls under these seven pillars of wisdom. So I'm looking forward to the series. If you think you've heard it all, please come back and hear again, because this will come alive in a way that it's never been before. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because it happens this way every time.
Gospel Revolution.
And so it is that we must leave you, family. We love you one and all, and we especially thank all of you who, with your financial support, keep this message of grace and peace going out every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of this gospel, not just into Africa, not just into the North Americas, not just into the Western world, but now it seems like also into Burma, then call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. Don't forget that for the this month of August and on into September as well, a 300-plus page, $30 book entitled Redemption, mm-hmm. A Declaration for All, Not a Choice for a Few, authored by Robert Hines, is free in electronic format to anybody who makes a donation of any size to the Gospel Revolution. So call our office now at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for me or for the show, simply telephone us at area code 234-564-0971 and leave your voicemail. Our web, I want more voicemails, family. I want more voicemails. I want to be able to put your voice to air. I want to be able to let people know, what has this gospel done for you? You've heard some of the testimonials that we've had go out, like Betty Lou Hagen, like James Taylor, like Jeff Robertson, like a whole bunch of people. I'd love to know. Michael and I would love to hear, what has this gospel done for you? Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com. And we're always up for a Facebook chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And so it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the simply, well, just the simply simple Gospel Revolution studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And
this is Mike Williams from here in marvelous Houston, Texas. Nothing simple about us at all. And also in my telling you good evening this evening, we had one more $500 contribution just come in that will also get one of Bob's books. This is really amazing. I didn't know that all we needed to do is raise the price of our books to $500 a piece. So we really appreciate Robert Hines doing this. People love your book, and we love you. I just am so jealous of your title. I don't know what to do with myself. So, folks, this is a book you really need to get deeply involved in. And believe me, you cannot get involved in it without getting deeply involved. It is profound. And we love you guys so very much. Thank you for being here. I had a blast on this PowerCast. We got to cover a lot of really wonderful emails, and we got to bring out a lot of good teaching also. So we hope that you enjoyed it, and we love you, and we will see you again next time.
So remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again, only, well...
just like I told you last week, better.